Well, indeed, happy Father's Day to everybody, right? You know, it's a great day to celebrate. We know, as men, you've been planning this out for at least, I don't know, you skipped a few days after last year to kind of, you know, just get over it, then you started planning again. So it's been at least 11 months you've been planning this out, and we appreciate it very much. As men, we want you to know that, ladies and families. Okay, so thank you very much for that. Yeah, it is Father's Day, by the way. Yeah, just kind of a reminder here. It's also Deacon's Day. I mean, we're scheduled ordination today for Terry Lunsford, and it's kind of cool because they both go together. The requirements and really the roles and the practice and the heartbeat of a deacon is pretty similar to that of a dad. And quite frankly, it's not really a long ways from that of a mom, too, or a, I don't know, a Christian, you know. So what we're doing here today is, you know, don't turn me off here because we're talking about deacons and dads. If you're not a deacon or a dad, I want to give you four quick reasons why you want to stay tuned, all right? Number one, the qualities and practices we're going to be talking about today are going to be most of them for everybody, all right? They're just good, solid, I don't know, human practices, let alone Christian practices and qualities. They'll ring true in your heart. Number two, and they're good reminders for all of us. Number two, there's a passage in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and that's going to be our main passage today, is 1 Timothy 3. You should have a sermon guide. Actually, it should be two pages, two separate documents in your bulletin. One is the qualifications for deacons, entitled Qualifications and Roles of Deacons. The other is a sermon outline slash, actually, it's not a sermon outline. My bad. There's going to be the vows, that kind of stuff. Anyway, we're going to be over the qualification and roles first, and then we'll go to the vow part. You'll kind of make your own vows as we go, so that'll be meaningful to you as well. All right, since I'm bombing the intro, let me get back to this thing, okay? Number one reason you want to continue to pay attention is the qualities and practices we're going to be looking at are, you know, for everybody, most of them anyway. Number two is in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, which is in context with the passage we're going to look at regarding deacons and elders. We have these words, verse 15, I write so that, in other words, I'm giving you this stuff about deacons and elders and other stuff in the book of 1 Timothy, Timothy, so that you may know how one ought to live or conduct himself in the house of God. That's not a building. They didn't have buildings as far as we know, by the way. That's the people gathered together, the families and the individuals gathered together that are Christians. How one ought to conduct himself among the believers, in other words, which is the church, the called out ones, the assembly of the living God. Listen now, the pillar and the support of the truth. You know, if you are attuned to anything going on in America, that American mores and qualities and that which is good and that which is evil, those standards are rapidly changing before our eyes, are they not? And that's true in all cultures. The church is solid, the biblical church, okay? The biblical church is solid. What's the biblical church? A church going by the Bible. Why? Because the standards in the Old Testament and the New Testament for life and living and marriage and family and dadhood and all of that stuff never changes. It's just rock solid, and it works, okay? You want to have a great life, it works. Matter of fact, if you want to have a decent life and stay an unbeliever in Jesus Christ, the principles work. But we encourage you to trust Christ, and you'll be empowered all the more, inspired all the more to indeed walk with these principles in your life. Okay, so we're going to look at stuff that's just, you know, it's just good for society. It's good for you, regardless if you're a Christian or not. But the church is the pillar and the support of the truth, and it is structured in such a way that it may continue to teach that and be a blessing to families. More about that in just a moment. Number three reason you want to listen is, you love our men, you want them to do well in marriage, in family, and in church, and in community. And number four, you love Terry. and you want to know how to pray for him and what he's facing with his vows today. So for all of that reason, all four of those reasons and some more, I want you to pay attention today. Here's kind of the setup. There's three institutions God's given to us that he created, okay? Number one is the family. Number two is the church. Number three is the state. We're going to get into Romans 13 later on. We're going through the book of Romans. We'll get into the whole deal with the state, how they're servants of God, are supposed to be. Well, they are, you know, whether they behave that way or not. But the primary institution is the family. The other two exist to be a blessing to the family. And families are to do life together, and that's called the church, okay? The leader of the family, plainly in Scripture, is the dad, the husband, the dad. He's not better or anything like that. He's not wiser. He's not, you know, that's just God's prescription for the family. Ephesians 5, if you want to get a passage on that, and I can give you a bunch more if you want to email me or give me a call. All right, so the husband is, or the dad, it's Father's Day, the dad is the leader of the family, and the church to be a blessing to the family, one of its ways is to exemplify, verbally teach, which we're going to try to do today, but also mostly exemplify what it is to be a dad, to be a husband. And quite frankly, the church demonstrates what it is to be a family. And that's why church structure, you know, why can't women do this? Why do men do that? Because the church is given primarily for the blessing of the family. So we model in the church what a family should look like as best we can. And the church is not just a bunch of cells running around, and like you know, we got human bodies. It's not just a bunch of cells running around rampantly, you know, just doing whatever they want to. There's an order and a structure. It's not much, but there is an order and a structure. And so in the church, there's three parts, if you will. There's the congregation, all the members, and they're all equal, and all valuable, and all have their role. But within the congregation, there are the deacons, and there are the elders, and that's it. There's no cardinals, we don't find any of that stuff in the Bible that's manufactured by people. I don't want to dump on anybody. I just want church to be really understandable and simple to you. You say, well, why do you say that? Take the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. They're explanations on how to do church leadership, how to do church governance. Read through those slowly and prayerfully, and you'll find two offices given to the church. One is deacons, one is elders. That's it. And if you look at the book of Acts, the history of the early church, that's what you find there as well. Elders being raised up in churches immediately after their plant. Plurality of elders. And that's just the way it is. So church is not this complicated, ecclesiastical, who can possibly understand it kind of thing. It's families and individuals coming together who trust Christ, but there is a structure and an order to it. And it's the great thing about the church organization is when you first join, you're at the top of the pile. And as you grow in Christ, you go more and more to the bottom of the pile to serve the rest. Life becomes less and less about you and what you like, and more about Christ, what honors him, and what's a blessing to others. So this kind of a pyramid. It's an upside-down pyramid. And at Cross Point Fellowship, as every godly church does, we're looking for men and women, but we're looking for men who are going to the bottom of the pile. It's less and less about them. It's more and more about what can I do to be a blessing to others. And yes, we have an eye on you. And yes, we're looking. And so are others, because they want to be inspired what it is to be a Christian. Rick's gone with the kids. But, you know, the memory verse, Mark 10. You know, Christ didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for the many. We're called to follow in his steps. Those who would be great, he says, must be the servants. That's what we're talking about today, okay? And that's true of the home. It's not a right-side-up pyramid. The home, quite frankly, is an upside-down pyramid. The man is at the bottom of the pile, Believe me, I got the grandkids here, and I'm at the bottom of the pile quite often as they dogpile me, all right? The man is at the, but it's a good reminder to me. The man's at the bottom of the pile to serve. Everybody good with that? Okay, that's God's design. And he leads, he makes decisions by what's best for everybody else, not himself. Okay, so that's the church, and that is the family, and the church is here to model that, and God's given us gift of elders and deacons to be the examples. There's other people that are examples too, but they're the ones that we point to. They're on our website. You'll meet them today as well, some of them, the ones that are here that aren't out fishing. No, I didn't say that. No, they're doing important things. You'll meet them today, and these are men, and every one of them, I love them to death, I admire them to death, they're an inspiration to me, every one of them, the elders and the deacons, and I can say about each one of them, follow them as they follow Christ, okay? Watch their servant lives, all right? So that's what we're about today. So we're going to go through, you got this, again, you got a handout, an outline that says the qualification of deacons, and one that says the role of deacons. Let's go through the role thing kind of quick, and then we'll go through the qualification thing a little more slowly, and then we'll take vows. And the vows will be meaningless, meaningful, will be meaningful to you because you'll kind of be made. Go ahead and go vows to the Lord and to the one standing up here as well. That would be Terry. All right, so let's go ahead and go through the roles of deacons kind of quick because we want you to know how stuff works here. Deacons, there's roles given in the Bible to elders. Matter of fact, you can turn your attention to that little column. It says roles of elders. It's like the bottom of the page, I think. It's somewhere in there. Okay, it says you have the roles of deacons. At the very bottom of the page, it's just like a sentence, the roles of elders. And the roles of elders are pretty plain in Scripture. They are to be people, men of prayer for the congregation daily. They are to teach. Others can teach, but they have the primary teaching responsibility verbally. They are to lead. They set the vision, and they lead the way. And if a church is not being led well, it's their fault. If it's not being taught well, it's their fault. They oversee. That doesn't mean they're at the top of the pile. From the bottom of the pile, they're looking to see if everything's going well for the flock. It's like a shepherd watching the flock. They protect. If they see a wolf, they're going to do something about it. They're charged to do something about it immediately. And they're to serve, and that kind of overlaps with deacons. Anyway, they can love and serve the body. They're going to do that. So that's what elders are charged with. Deacons, we'll slow down a little bit with this. Deacons are not given any roles in the Bible outside of the title, which diakonos simply means servant. They're serve. You say, well, what do they do as servants? Yeah, whatever the church needs, you know. And so we talk about it, and that's what they do. So number one, they exemplify their qualifications that we'll talk about in a moment that are found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 through 13. We're going to talk about those in a moment. That's the number one thing they do. They live out what it is to be a normal Christian man. And we'll talk about that. Number two, we've asked them to do something called the Deacon Family Ministry Plan here. If you don't have a deacon, pay attention. If you do have a deacon, pay attention. If you don't have a deacon, ask for one. Somehow we passed you up, or we're assuming your small group leadership structure is keeping up with you and doing these very things with you. If you're a small group leader, this needs to be happening in the small group for each of your members. And if you're a deacon, this is your practice, okay? So you should either have a small group or a deacon. If you don't, please contact us like today, like immediately, all right? They're building relationships with members of the congregation. If I'm a deacon, I might say, you know, you five or you ten right here are kind of, you know, I'm going to be watching out for you each week, and I'm going to be the one you call if you have a need and whatever. Okay, so you're my deacon group, all right? And the deacons, they can take different amounts of people, depending on the people and depending on their schedule. And so there's deacon groups. If you're not in one and you'd like to be in one, please let us know, all right? And they build relationships gradually, depending on the person. If you don't want much of a relationship, that's cool. That's fine. You know, if you do, then they're there to do that. Number two, they're going to pray for you daily. Daily. So I'm going to pray for each of you. If you're my deacon group, I'm going to pray for each one of you daily, as I know to pray for you. And the main thing I'm doing as I pray for you, I'm listening for the voice of Jesus. Jesus, what do you want me to do to help these folks? For weeks, it might be nothing, and then maybe it's make a phone call, maybe make a visit, whatever, okay? So it's a Jesus-led kind of thing. We're going to periodically contact you. Letter D, we're going to watch out for you. If you stop showing up, your deacon's going to know, and he's going to give you a call and just see what's going on, okay? And then E, if you have a serious time of need or not so serious, they're going to be there to help you with that. And then F, if that time of need is kind of beyond their, you know, ability, they'll call an elder to help out. They'll talk to you first and say, hey, can we call an elder in to help out? You're fixing to commit suicide. We need to get an elder here. And would that be okay? All right? Or whatever it is, you know. All right? So that's the Deacon Family Ministry Plan. If you want to be part of that, please let us know. All right? I want everybody to be covered. Number three, they manage the Benevolence Fund. Which kind of in line with Acts chapter 6. If you have a need or know somebody with a financial need, please let us know, and that would go to the deacons. Number four, they help maintain the facilities. The facilities team does that, but they're able to help with that if they need to. Number five, they do the physical preparation of the Lord's Supper. Number six, huge, they grow the church in a ministry lifestyle through their example. And then number seven, they're there to mentor new deacons. If you'd like to be a deacon, let us know. And we will invite you to, we'll talk with you and invite you to a deacon training for whatever time that takes. Okay? All right? No given amount of time for that. All right, so that's the role of deacons at Crosspoint. That might change from church to church. Why? Because we're not given the role of deacons in the Bible. All right? They're just servants. And some would go to Acts chapter 6 for their roles. I think that's the verb is used, the noun's not used there. And I think their roles can go way beyond Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. You can read that on your own time. All right, then the qualifications. This is where I'm going to take a breath, kind of slow down, all right, because this is just good stuff for everybody. Qualification of deacons, or I probably should have entitled that Qualifications of Deacons and Dads. All right, so pay attention, Dad. And quite frankly, it's for most of them, it's just every Christian, male, female, young or old. So if you're going to be a deacon, you got to match the qualification, which are really all just normal Christianity. If you're here and you're checking out Christianity, say, what should a Christian look like? I think the guy at work, I think he's a hypocrite, but I'm not sure. You know, what does a Christian even look like? Here's your list. Okay. Every person here, quite frankly, needs to be somewhere on this list, okay, growing in these things. Not perfect in these things, growing in these things. All right, so here's just a reminder of where basically all of us need to be. Number one, men of dignity. We're in trouble. Now, look, when you hear the word dignity, what do you think? Do you want to hang around, honestly, do you want to hang around a guy who's dignified? Probably not, okay? It just has a negative connotation. You're glad to meet him, but you kind of want to move on, okay, to somebody you can relax with, okay? So dignity just has a negative connotation. It's a great word, but for us, most of us, it has a negative connotation, okay? So it's a Greek word that has to do with respectable or honorable, okay? So right now, just in your mind, think about, guys especially, think about, you know, who do you respect? There's, you know, the Joe, who, nobody hears Joe, hopefully. You know, there's Joe who comes to the party, and he is a barrel of laughs, man. We love having him at the party. He makes a monkey out of himself and everybody else. And, you know, but as far as, like, respecting that guy, he's kind of fun to have, especially, like, in homeroom or something, you know. But you kind of go and, you know, the honor, the respect's probably not there, okay? A guy that's honorable can joke around, but he knows when to be serious. He has priorities. He has values. Again, think of that guy in your mind. Be that guy. Who do you respect? They can joke around some, but they know what's serious. One thing that's definitely in their life is they are honoring other people. They're not gossiping, they're not backbiting, they're not making fun of, they don't use sarcasm, like, at all. They're honoring other people, okay? They can joke around some and that kind of thing, okay? Banter each other on the softball team, whatever, but they honor other folks, okay? So you want a person that's honoring other folks, men of dignity. Number two, they are not double-tongued. And that's basically a Greek phrase that has to do with, they're not hypocritical. They're not deceitful. They're not two-faced, okay? You can take them at their word. If they say something, you know, that's what they mean, okay? They're not liars, okay? They're honest. They're people of integrity, all right? So far, they need to be respected or respectable. That's every human, let alone Christian, hopefully. And they need to be honest. That's every human and Christian. And, of course, our politicians. Number three, they need to be not addicted to much wine. There's a high standard, okay? You don't want them drunk all the time. Matter of fact, you don't want them drunk at all. The Greek phrase has to do with thinking of or focusing on a lot of alcohol. That's literally the Greek. Is it okay for them to have a glass of wine? Yeah, according to the Bible, there's no problem with that at all, unless they're harming other people by doing so, all right? So that's never the standard. The standard is you don't want these guys thinking about, okay, we're going to have a party. Well, the first thing I think about is that we've got to have alcohol there. You know, you just don't want that mindset. And you don't want drunkenness. Don't be drunk with alcohol, for therein is dissipation, but be being filled with the Spirit. You want a man who is always, he's so outside of a medical emergency or something, he's sober enough to always be listening for the voice of the Spirit of God. Okay, so you don't want drunkenness, you don't want a guy that's always got alcohol around, but to drink some is fine as long as he doesn't have a buzz where he can't listen to God, all right? So sober, third quality. Number four, not fond of sordid gain or dishonest gain. Obviously, you don't want a thief as a deacon, you know, or a Christian, you know, so you don't want him stealing stuff. But the Greek also has to do with kind of a shameful greediness, a covetousness. You know, he's not only thinking about alcohol, but he's thinking about stuff. It's all the time, he just seems to be focused on getting more stuff. Bigger boat, you know, bigger, actually, if you're fixing to get a bigger boat, that's great. Invite me over, though. I got to be careful here. You know, but you're just, you know, if you're fixing, your brain is always, and you're communicating that you're always thinking about bigger, better, spending more money, getting more money. That's a shameful way to live, and it's not a healthy way to live. And we don't want our folks. We're all caught up in materialism enough where we don't need help with that. Okay, so we want our leaders to be content. All right, with what they have. Again, if God blesses you with the ability to make $1 million a day, praise the Lord. The Bible has no issue with that. It's that love of money, it's that focus of money that just wrecks people's lives. Okay, make sense? Okay, so you want this guy to be shamefully greedy or covetous, wanting what other people have, or just wanting just boatloads of stuff. Okay, next one is. Holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. What's the mystery of the faith? Stuff, it seems to be stuff in the Old Testament before Jesus came that was, you know, it was there, but they didn't quite put it totally together. And then with Jesus is coming, his death, burial, resurrection, stuff comes together. And that's the New Testament, okay? So in a nutshell, holding to the New Testament with a clear conscience. In other words, you're having a devotional time as a deacon and as a Christian man and a Christian woman. And, you know, you're reading. As you read things, you're not picking and choosing, going, well, I don't like that. I love my enemy. Are you kidding me? You know, I ain't doing that. You know, you're not going to have a clear conscience. So when you read something, and it becomes plain, you're going, yeah, I'm adding that to my life. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to start doing that, okay? That's a clear conscience and just asking for forgiveness before God, you know, where we blow it regarding his standards. And that's a lifetime process, but he's got a clear conscience as he studies God's word. And, of course, to hold to the New Testament, you're going to have to hold to the Old Testament as well because it's built on, the new is built on the old. All right, so holding to the Bible with a clear conscience. So biblically sound is the title I put on that one. Next phrase, let these first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. That means they can't be accused of not keeping one of these qualities, I think is the idea. First be tested. We're going to watch them for a while. And so if you're a guy and you want to be a deacon, that's tremendous. But we're going to, you know, just let us know and we're going to work with you and watch you for a while. And then you can serve as a deacon. You're already a servant. As a Christian, you're a servant. You're a deacon in the sense that you're a diakonos. Everybody's a deacon in one sense because we're all servants. And that word is used for every believer. But in a kind of an office sense, you become that once we see that God's hand is on you regarding these things and living these things out in a consistent way. All right? So that's the tested part. Women must be likewise, women or wives, it's the same word. There's no distinguishing in the Greek language of this time between a woman and a wife just by the word itself. So it could be women and it could be wives, just equally. It could be either one, depends on the context. Way we're going to take it today is these are going to be the wives of deacons, or for today, Terry's wife, okay? And let's just take them to be our wives as well. But again, that debate we can have another. We've had the debate. We'll have it again. Okay. For right now, we're just use this of wives. Why? Because it's Father's Day, and a good way to look at my wife is looking at her like she's a garden. And the question for me is, what am I planting in the garden? Now she's going to grow. God's going to grow her, and she's going to be fine without me. But I believe I'm given the charge, and there's so much power in words, I believe I'm given the charge to plant the appropriate word seeds, if you will, and to grow and inspire those seeds to grow. Does that make sense? God brings the growth, but God charges me with that. So the question for men today is, are these four words things that we're inspiring in our wives? Everybody with me? Okay. Number one, they need to be dignified. That's the same word for the deacon in verse 7. Okay, they need to be dignified. That means people of honor. So how do you do that? I help her become that by honoring her without exception. Number two, not a malicious gossip, not a diabolos, a devil, not assuming bad things about other people and then slandering them. How do I do that? By modeling that and by speaking well about her and to her and about other people as well when I'm with her. Number three, temperate. Sober could also be a good translation of that. Level-headed, not intoxicated, level-headed, thinking clearly. And then number four, faithful in all things, just a faithful Christian when it comes to the teaching of Scripture. I'm speeding up a little bit because I'm aware of the time. Verse 12, let deacons be husbands of only one wife. I'd like to take the time on this one. It's literally because I say the same thing about every time. I pound it, and for years and years, you've been told, you know, all these things are developed except for this one. If you blew it at any time, you're out, which is just nauseating to me, to be honest with you. Okay, I respect you, I love you, but that's been pounded in the heads of some of the folks here by Baptist preachers through the years, and so you're still thinking that way, and I'm just telling you, it's literally, they must be of one woman men. What does that mean? Well, let's just get pharisaical and just pile on our own meanings, as opposed to going, here's the possible parameters of meanings, and let's go, what does the rest of the Bible say? Okay? But it's the one thing you can be a rapist, a pimp, a murderer, a terrorist, i.e. Paul. You could have had sex outside of marriage with 1,000 women, and you qualify. But if at 18 you got married and you got a divorce at 19, you're out. You can do any crime on the planet. And if you have a track record of these things, you qualify. But the one thing you can never have ever done is get a divorce. Really? Is that what that means? Really? So you got a guy 50 years heart for one lady espousing monogamy, just, you know, high standards of marriage, 50 years, but at 19 he got a divorce, so he's done. That's what the Bible teaches? That's what this means? Come on. Okay? So some of y'all are still not going to believe me, but that's been our standard here, and we're going to keep it. Okay? But we're open to debate. All right? Good managers of their children and their own households. What does that mean? They're a faithful dad, so they're a faithful husband. One, my eyes, my ears, my heart is for my wife, period. And then a good manager of my children, my household, my heart's for my kids and my children, and I'm going to spend time with them and do what it takes to manage them well, okay, to love them well. So the last three are a faithful wife, be a faithful husband, and a faithful dad. All right, pretty good. Verse 13, those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves the Greek word is simply good. It's an average word for good. A good standing. I don't like high because it's the top of the pyramid kind of idea. It's a good standing and a great confidence in the faith that is in Christ. Who are confident in their walk with Christ? Those who are servants. Those who are going to the bottom of the pile, they're the most confident, at peace believers that exist. If you're doing everything and you're not going to the bottom of the pile to serve more and more people, you're going to be uneasy in the Christian faith. It's just a law. And that's what that last verse, at least one of the things it's shooting for. By the way, the Acts 6 passage could apply to deacons as well, so we threw it in. Good reputation, in other words, in these things. Full of the Spirit and wisdom. In other words, it's a man of prayer, listening for the voice of God, and he's going to be growing in wisdom because he's doing that very thing. Qualification for deacons, there they are, and my apologies for rushing that latter part. I think we're still good, though. So what we're going to do right now is have some vows given before you, and as we do so, we want you to make appropriate vows as well. There'll be a section here where the congregation, and the congregation is anybody who is a believer who says, you know, this is my church home, whether you're officially a member here or not. And we'll ask you to make your vow toward Terry. They're listed on in your bulletin. Please pull out the vows if you would. All right. But beyond those vows, there's other vows that it might be good or promises for you to make before God. Okay? So where it's appropriate, it's kind of the application of the teaching today. Application of the sermon. The sermon's done. Application of that is where God speaks to your heart, make the appropriate commitment to Him. And these vows will give you some suggestions on commitments before God. All right? Terry, if you would, go ahead and come forward, sir. This is Terry Lunsford, and he's a man that we have grown to admire greatly as we've watched his humble walk with Christ through, I don't know how many years it's been, a bunch of years.
Yes.
How many years has it been?
About 32 years I've been here for six.
Oh, about six of those years. Yes. Okay, all right. Okay, so about 6 years we've been as a congregation, and I've been inspired by your life and your humble walk with Christ. It just, I mean, you are, whenever anybody's hurting and you hear about it, you're there. Like, just a wonderful pastor's heart. Just follow that guy as he follows Christ. Matter of fact, Terry is, I'm going to go through this list to review. Terry is respectable because he respects other people. And he knows what's serious. He's got appropriate priorities. Number two, he's honest. Number three, he's sober. Number four, he's biblically solid. As he learns, he's a student. As he learns something in Scripture, you know, he's there. He's wanting to apply it. He's been tested. Deacons have trained him, have examined him. The elders have examined him. When I say examined, we've sat down. We've watched him, but we've also sat down and asked him questions, tough questions. And then the church council has examined him, and the entire congregation, as you remember a number of months ago, have examined him. All right? So that's the tested part. He has a very faithful wife in all things, Brenda, who is right. You don't need to stand up and come up, but Brenda's right over here. Just kind of raise your hand, Brenda, for folks who don't know you, right over here. Marvelous wife. Definitely your better half.
I agree.
He's a faithful husband to her, and he's a faithful dad. And he's a man that has a high standing or a good standing and great confidence in the faith, as we talked about in that passage. So, Terry, with that, I'd like for you to take these vows before this congregation. You have the vows in front of you. And we printed them out for you because you may want to, as you're listening to Terry make his vows, make similar vows as well. Terry, do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments as originally given to be the inerrant word of God? Do you trust and submit to their authority, hold them to be necessary, sufficient, and the only infallible rule of faith and practice?
I certainly do.
Do you believe the fundamentals of the doctrine as found in the Baptist Faith and Message and the Lausanne Covenant, and find them to be consistent with the Scriptures.
Yes.
Those are both really, really basic doctrinal statements, kind of summarizing Scripture on some major points. Do you promise to continue to live and exemplify these qualities and practices required of deacons in 1 Timothy 3? Do you promise to focus on the three priorities of loving God, loving one another, and living the mission, and exemplify them to our congregation?
I better, and I do.
Do you promise to faithfully practice the means of grace as listed in our How to Grow guide? That's a guide you can get in the foyer on the way out. It's how to grow, and it's 16 means, and it's a great way to know that you're putting yourself where God can grow you as a believer. And we encourage everybody to pick up a copy of that. Do you promise to hold your wife and family as a higher priority than your deacon ministry to this church? And do you promise to continually consider your wife's counsel concerning this priority? Do you promise to maintain a lifestyle of moral alertness and discretion in heart and practice? What we're talking about is if there's an emergency, if you're a lady by yourself, it's an emergency in your house, and your house is on fire, he will probably go in without your husband being there and pull you out. But if your faucet's dripping, he's probably not. Okay, if you're an attractive lady and anywhere around his age, okay, he'll bring somebody back. Okay, that's moral discretion. Do not be offended. That's my practice. That's Billy Graham's practice. That's Jonathan. That's our practice. Okay, and if you can't figure out why, we'll let you know. Give us an email. We'll let you know. Okay, number eight. We distrust you. It has nothing to do with you. Okay, number eight. Do you promise to promote both the purity and unity of this church as well as the purity and unity of the global body of Christ? Number nine, do you promise to help our elders protect this church from false teaching, worldly enticements, or anything which would do the church harm? And do you promise to support this church's practice of church discipline consistent with the procedure, spirit, and examples of Matthew 18 and 1 Corinthians chapter 5? Do you promise to receive elder leadership, work together with them in all things needed for the well-being of this church, and invite their help where useful in your ministry to this congregation?
Yes.
Do you promise to love and serve this church family, exercising all the gifts which God has entrusted to you?
Yes.
Do you promise to fulfill your ministry with a servant's heart, esteeming the members of this church and their welfare above your own?
I do.
Do you promise to attempt to learn and minister to the physical, social, spiritual, intellectual, and emotional needs of this church through the Deacon Family Ministry Plan? Do you promise to build mutually edifying relationships, pray daily for each one, periodically contact them, watch for them during gatherings, visit and minister to them in time of need, and coordinate ministry efforts with the elders as needed?
I do.
Do you promise to help your fellow deacons fulfill their calling?
Yes.
Do you promise to practice the ministry of mutual submission and edification with your fellow deacons in this church?
Yes.
Do you promise to help mentor deacon candidates? Do you promise that if at any time you find yourself, your beliefs, I'm sorry, or practices out of accord with these vows, you will, on your own initiative, make known to the deacons of this church the change which has taken place? Jonathan, if you would. Jonathan is one of our elders, and he's going to lead this congregation in vows. Stay right there.
Good morning. We recognize that in a place like Anna Maria Island that we have members who are here year-round. Mm-hmm. We have members that are here part year, and we have attenders. Welcome to all the vacationers that are here today. But if you are a member of Crosspoint, or you are a member of a local church where you're from, then we invite you to be held to this standard. And so if that's you, a member of the body of Christ, we invite you to say these vows as well, as I ask them. Number one, do you receive this man as your deacon and as a member of the deacon team? Do you promise to recognize him as God's provision for our corporate and individual well-being and growth?
Yes.
Do you promise to pray for him and minister to him as Christ guides you?
Yes.
And do you promise to consider well the needs of his wife and his family?
Yes.
Do you promise to accept and promote his practice of moral carefulness?
Yes.
Do you promise to follow the example of this deacon in Christ-like servanthood and serve with him to meet the needs of this congregation and community?
Yes.
And do you promise to encourage him, support him in whatever ways may be helpful?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Marion, if you would, come on forward as the leader of the deacons. And deacons, if you would, please come forward as well. And let's move this way. Marion, right here. Any deacons present, please come up and take your place right here. Any other deacons present? Wow. Okay, Jimmy? Okay, good, okay. And that's it for the deacons. All right.
Okay. Vows for my fellow deacons and myself. Do you promise to receive this man as your fellow deacon and member with equal authority and responsibility on your deacon team? Do you promise to pray for him and with him? Do you promise to practice the ministry of mutual service, submission, correction, and edification with this fellow deacon? Do you promise to help him minister well to the members entrusted to him with the deacon family ministry plan? Do you promise to work together as equal partners in serving this church? And do you promise to promote his training and development? And will you do all within your power to help him fulfill his deacon vows?
Okay. Gentlemen, if you would just stay right where you are. And Maria, maybe if you can go join them. Wayne, if you would, go ahead and come up. And Wayne is going to lead our elders. If you're an elder in this church, please come forward at this time. And you can kind of just join Jimmy right there. All the elders, come on up and join Jimmy. By the way, Ed is one of our deacons and didn't feel the ability to leave the soundboard. Thank you, Ed, very much. But he made his vows from back here. We have some other deacons not here.
All right, for the elders, do you promise to receive and recognize Terry as God's provision to allow you to focus on the ministry of the word, prayer, and other responsibilities of elders?
We do.
Do you promise to pray for him?
We do.
Do you promise to serve Terry, support him, and encourage him regarding the fullness of God's call upon his life?
Yes.
Do you promise to help him minister well to the members entrusted to him with the deacon family ministry plan?
Yes.
Do you promise to train and equip Terry in ministry and lifestyle by example and word?
Yes. All right, Terry, if you would come right here, sir. And we're going to practice what we see in Scripture quite a bit, and that's the laying on of hands. So we're going to pray together as a congregation, and we'll have several. Let's use the microphone if we could, and we'll have a couple of guys pray out. This is not scripted. This will be whoever desires to do so pray to lead us in prayer for Terry as we lay hands on him.
Father, we certainly give you thanks for Terry, give you thanks for his heart for you, and certainly his example that he sets for others. Do pray that you just give him incredible wisdom and encouragement and focus and certainly help from you, Father, as he serves this church.
Our great Father, I thank you for the call that you have placed upon Terry's life and that you have used all of these years, 30 plus years, you have walked with him and have discipled him and nurtured him. And these last 6 years, you have blessed us here at Crosspoint with him and Brenda. We thank you for the gift that you have given to us. We cherish the love that you have for this congregation by giving us such a fine man and his wife. And I pray for blessing to be upon them. And thank you from the bottom of our hearts for choosing to give us such a servant and such a model of faith in you. Thank you, Father.
Father God, we just thank you so much for Terry and Brenda. We thank you for their example, for their giving hearts. We thank you for the love that they show to everyone. And Lord, they are a pleasing example to you. I'm sure they are an example to us for sure. And we thank you again for them. We love them, Lord.
Father, we pray that in every way you would guide Terry into the fullness of your call and Brenda as well. Thank you for using them as you have. And for whatever your plan is in the hours and days ahead, Father, help us to truly esteem them and love them and encourage them and serve with them and follow their example. Thank you, Father, for all the deacons and their wives and all the elders and their wives, and pray that in every way, Father, you would be at work in and through them. In this church, in this community, and as they guide us in ministry globally. Thank you for the great, great privilege to have leaders, examples, servants as these men and their wives, Father, before us today. Thank you for great grace in all of this. Thank you for your plan for the family. Thank you for your plan for the church. And guide us continually into the center of your plan. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Stay right there if you would. Let me grab a piece of paper because I don't have this memorized. We, the deacons and elders of Crosspoint Fellowship, bear witness that Christ has gifted and called Terry Lunsford to be recognized and ordained as a deacon, and is equipped to carry out these vows he has made before us this day. We also declare Terry to be duly installed as a deacon of Crosspoint Fellowship. Amen. We love you.
Thank you.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you very much. We're going to have the worship team come up, and you go that way, you go that way. Have the worship team come up. I want to make sure as they're coming up, the gospel is really plain, and the attitude that is at the core of these men as they serve is really plain. All right? So indulge me just another couple of minutes. This is in 1 Timothy, the same book that we've been working out of today, chapter 1 and verse 13. 1 Timothy, you got it in your Bible, it's not in your bulletin, but it's in your Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Paul, this is a man who was a terrorist, full-bred terrorist. Okay? Tried to destroy the church, torture people, kill people. Even though, now I want you to hear the spirit of his heart, and that's the spirit of these men that we just saw, and Terry. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and a violent aggressor. Who's Jesus looking for? Blasphemers, persecutors, violent, thuggish men. I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly and in unbelief. I didn't get it. And the grace, listen to that word, the grace, that's unmerited love, of our Lord Jesus was more than abundant. Whatever excuse you're using because of your past, the grace of Jesus is more than abundant to bring you beyond that. with the faith and love which is found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost of all. I'm quoting Paul, but I'm saying that myself. For this reason, I found mercy. I'm saying that for Paul. I'm saying that for myself. I'm saying that for Terry. I'm saying that for the men you saw up here. For this reason, I found mercy, in order that in me, the foremost, the worst man I know, listen now, this is what it's all about. Here's what it boils down to. Christ Jesus might demonstrate his perfect patience. Have these guys attained to anything yet? No, they're trophies of the grace of Christ. Forgiven by Christ, Christ is at work within them. They are examples of the perfect patience of Christ. As they mess up, but they get back up and they continue on with Christ. Of his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. That's a church. Amen? That's these men. That's this man, Terry Lunsford. And we invite all of you to join his church and be part of the blasphemers, the persecutors, the violent aggressors, and everyone else who is gradually being brought along into the image of Christ as he demonstrates his patience in our midst. Amen? Let's just pray one more time, and we'll worship the Lord in song. After the song, if you want to come forward. And Terry, it might be good for you after the song as well, just to go ahead at the end of the song, kind of go ahead and come on up here. Any of the other elders and deacons that want to come up is fine. Kind of do a little receiving thing up here. We got small groups following this time, but at the end of the song. And at the end of the song as well, we'll have all kinds of folks up here, including me. If you want to trust Christ or talk about any of these things, we're available to you. Just grab one of the guys you saw, and we'll spend the day with you. Okay? We love you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this grace that we enjoy today. Pray that you'd be honored as we celebrate grace in this song and as we celebrate your tremendous goodness to every person here. You are good. You are full of mercy. You are full of grace. And in every way, Lord Jesus, you're there to bring folks along and to demonstrate your perfect patience in each one of us. Thank you for grace every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have a maker before my heart. Before even time began, my life was in his hand. He knows my name. Where I go. I have a maker before my heart, before even time began, my life was in his hands. He knows my name.
God bless each one of you. God make you a blessing.